and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions your local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your kumquads.
Fighting your way through the Winter Soldiers of the universe.
Yeah, Chris, like, I love the way you made sense of that.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Chris.
Yes.
Welcome back to another week of fun-filled. This is probably the, I don't know, best hour on radio.
It really is. Yeah. You know what? Actually, they did a poll recently.
A poll?
A poll. They did a poll. Angus Reid polls.
Angus Young poll?
They did a read.
Boy!
They did. That was his birthday on the weekend.
Oi.
Yeah.
Oi.
He said, you know what? And actually, it was his birthday on the weekend.
And he said this is the best show on the air.
He said this is the best show on the air.
Love
in
it.
Fact, he was disappointed he couldn't be here tonight. He said he was going to try to make it, but he couldn't. He couldn't, right. Show up.
Blimey.
Something about.
That's not Australian, is it? That's English.
Blimey? I think, blimey. I think it's. What is an Australian.
G'day, mate.
Okay, well, there's got to be like a crikey. No, I
crikey.
Don't know.
Is that a, right, is that a, maybe. Yeah, you're right. I think it is. You're
oh, okay.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, good. Anyway, we are the best hour on radio.
Absolutely, yes.
And we're here with our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein.
Shecky Feldstein.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good.
How are you?
You?
As motivated as you sound right about now.
All right.
Listen,
you're
looking good. I see you're sporting your giant C for Canada jersey type thing on tonight.
Is
that in support of Captain Canuck?
No, sir.
Oh.
No, sir. This is something my wife made me buy in 2010 at the Bay.
Oh, because for the Olympics.
The Olympics.
Right, right, right.
And she goes, oh, you got to buy that for you and the boys.
Yes.
So you can wear it during the Olympics.
And
at the Bay, they're like $50.
Yeah, I know.
And then like the next day, I went to like Stitches and they're like, $17.99. So, anyway.
But hey, you know what? You supported your country
by
doing that.
Yes, I did.
I was at the Olympics.
I know. I remember.
Yeah.
What sport were you in there, Chris?
I was in dog sledding.
Dog sledding.
Yeah.
You were the only one in that event, I believe.
That's right. It was more of a what do you call it? Like a visual thing, you know, like a dog show.
All right, dogs. You
know, it was more of a guy having a couple of drinks and tumbling down a ski hill, chasing after some dogs, some stray dogs.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, what a sight, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
It was
great, good times, except for when I got on the luge there. That was not too much fun.
Yeah, the luge. You know, you chafe on the luge.
You really
you
do, yeah.
Hey, listen, enough Olympic talk.
All right.
Let's
We do talk have to talk about comics.
We do?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about comics. Let's talk. I think every week on the show we talk about, what's that first segment we do?
New comics. New
comics,
issues.
Right. Yeah. New this week.
New
thank
this
you.
Week, yeah.
And are we going to do that this
sure,
week?
Sure, you know what? Why not? Let's keep the tradition going.
Okay.
Let's start with Green Lantern number 30. Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh.
You know, I always get confused. I get so excited.
You were starting to talk, right? And Shecky had like daggers coming out of his eyes.
It's like he had little horns out of his head.
Don't worry. When I look at you, Chris, I just look right through you. Don't worry, Chris.
Okay, I know that you can see through my brain.
New this week, brought to you by April Fools. Remember to check your seat for tax. Ouch.
Oh, that's a very good point. Yeah. I didn't realize that holidays like April Fools actually had enough money to sponsor things.
Yeah, wow,
that's
good.
Yeah.
You know, they're encouraging trickery.
You know what?
Who's
what,
they?
What the,
how,
bounces. April Fools.
All right. Listen.
Yes.
We're talking about Green Lantern, and this is Green Lantern number 30, and this is by Robert Venditti and Martin Coccolo. I think I had a Coccolo when I was down in
In Coccolo.
It's not a drink. I think I had a couple
I thought
of those.
It was a place.
Yeah.
You go sun tanning.
Yeah, you know what? It's a good looking book. Interesting art style.
It's a good looking book right there, Marty. Yeah.
Well,
I can see it, Walt.
I like the art style. It looks like they're, you know, I always kind of find it interesting when they decide to just it's like the pencil rendering is so good that they decide to
color
darken it enough so there's no actual inking. Right?
Oh, right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's, and I think that's, it looks like that's what they've done here. Maybe, I could be wrong here, but it's a really good looking book. Maybe they did a little bit of
What does
both.
That mean? Does that mean they just stay in the lines when they color?
Sure. That's what it means. Yeah. Actually, it's got
for
a nice.
For the layman like me.
It's got a nice pinup of Batman in the back there, too. It's a preview of Batman number 30 as well.
Nice.
Good looking book there. You know, it's got your usual cast of characters, Green Lantern, Kilowog, all that kind of fun stuff. Great looking book. I highly recommend it.
All right. You heard that from Don. Good looking book there.
Good book there.
Green Lantern number 30 is available at your local comic book shop today.
Okay. So next up, I got to talk about now this is interesting. This is interesting because, you know, traditionally, Marvel's not always about having comics for adults
right.
only kind of
yeah.
thing, right? Like, they try to stick to an all-ages kind of thing.
Sure.
Maybe not entirely all ages, but, like, you know, teens and that kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
This Deadpool versus Carnage, it says right on the cover in big letters, parental advisory, not for kids.
Yo, so, parental discretion is advised.
Yes, and this is by Cullen Bunn and Salva Espin, and Veronica Gandini is the colorist.
Wow.
So, you know, this is a great book for many reasons. One, it's got Deadpool in it. Deadpool is one of the hottest, newest characters around. Like, as far as the newer characters of the Marvel canon of characters
mm-hmm.
goes, I would have to say he's probably the most recent that is doing as well as any of the other older characters.
Yeah, the old
right?
classic standbys.
He's becoming
like
a classic
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. Yeah. yeah. Yeah.
So, you know what? It's interesting to say. So, he appeared in X-Force 97?
Sure.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You should know these things.
I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
first appearance of Deadpool.
Oh, in New Mutants 98.
New Mutants, that's what I meant
yeah,
to say.
New Mutants
New
98.
Mutants, yeah.
By the way, his second appearance was in X-Force number 2.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, go ahead.
I was just wanted to know, for our fans, who may be Deadpool fans, what would a number one issue in a decent shape, say a 9.6, sell for?
I think they're about $200.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
So they're really good money for a book that's still around and plentiful.
And, yeah, and lots of them, and you know it's probably going to get scarcer and scarcer,
yeah.
right?
Well, I mean, they don't necessarily get scarcer, but they it's like water, right? Like they just seep into the ground, they disappear because
right.
people love them, and they yeah. have them in their dens, they have them in their office,
right.
they have
right.
them somewhere,
yeah.
and they're not out on the market.
Yeah, okay,
so,
fair enough.
And which is what's happening.
Now,
what I love about this cover is, I think of all the Spider-Man type villains.
Yep, yeah.
Carnage is visually so cool.
Yes,
visually,
yes,
like
yeah.
if you draw Carnage right or nasty
yeah,
or kind of in a dramatic way.
Yep.
Yeah, that sells comics.
Absolutely,
Carnage
yeah.
sells comics.
Yeah,
you know?
Just like Venom.
You could put
does.
A little bit of TNA on this cover.
Yeah,
or you could put Carnage on this cover,
and Carnage will probably help it sell a lot better than TNA would.
Pretty well.
Yeah,
well, I'll be close.
It depends on the TNA, but yeah.
I guess you're right.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not talking about your taste, Chris. I'm talking about just the general public out there.
All right,
but yeah,
all right.
This is a great cover, dramatic cover, and this is going to do well. It's available at your local comic book shop
yeah,
today.
And you know what? Smart comic book retailers will have ordered lots of those because it's going to be a hot book.
Yeah.
All right. My last new this week comic. I got to talk about this because it's a number one of two. And now we're going to talk later on in the show about the Captain America, the Winter Soldier movie coming out later
sure
on.
Sure.
And that's coming out this Friday.
It is.
In August, we've got the Guardians of the Galaxy movie coming out.
We do.
And so this is number one of two, the Guardians of the Galaxy prelude. So this is meant to be a prelude of a couple of the characters in the Guardians of the Galaxy to kind of to the movie. So it's a prelude to the movie. So if you're not too sure who these characters are, it might help you to kind of get you up to speed. And it's got, Nebula and Gamora
Nebula.
And all these different
Gamora.
Kinds of characters. Awesome looking book. I highly recommend it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay. Here, I have a problem with the book.
Now, is it because, and I think I know what it is.
Go ahead.
Is it because it has a photo cover?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part, like, that's one, yeah, that kind of gets to the point in a sense is, I don't think... Very often.
Yeah, I know.
No, I meant I don't think that you can take the comic book medium
yeah.
to introduce a character to layman's before the movie comes out because everybody that's into comics knows these characters.
Yeah, great point.
You
great
know
point.
What I mean?
Yeah, and
so,
unless you're a newbie to the Marvel, let's say you're a DC fan for years, but man, you really love the Marvel movies because they're doing it right.
Yeah,
and you're like, who the heck are these Guardians of the Galaxy people? There's a friggin' talking tree
know,
and a
I
raccoon.
I think they do better with the trailer on YouTube. What's
yes,
it called?
YouTube.
YouTube.
No, it's YouTube.
Yeah,
your tube.
Your tube.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway. So, hey, listen, if you know nothing about Guardians of the Galaxy and you want to,
yeah.
check out Guardians of the Galaxy Prelude, available at your local comic book shop.
Sounds good. All right, listen. It sounds like we're just ready for a musical interlude. Mardo, Shecky, do you have something lined up for us?
I always have something lined
up. Good man.
It may not be what you want to hear, but here
it is. All right, what you got lined up?
Today we're looking at The Incredible Hulk, The Lonely Man.
Oh, all right. Let's hear it.
I love it.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. That song has different effects on different people.
It really does. It really does.
Obviously, it touched something in you.
Yes. Well, it'd be the. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys, we're going to go into the industry news portion of the show.
I love that portion.
Do we have any.
I think Mr. Feldstein.
Shexter. Any sponsors there, Shexy?
Absolutely. So, industry news, first segment brought to you by Parental Advisory Comics, making your parents actually care what you're doing in your bedroom.
Oh, well. You,
nah, not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
No, yeah.
They're too busy playing your video games.
Yeah, right. all right, what's on the hit parade?
So, we got to talk about this. This is very exciting.
Okay.
Very exciting. I'm very proud of these guys. I want to talk about Pop Porn Episode 1.
Pop Porn.
Chris, easy.
Did you say Wait, you said pop porn, not popcorn.
Pop porn.
I like popcorn.
Yeah,
but I probably like pop porn better.
Pop
just give it a chance, Chris.
Yeah. Episode 1 is a rival podcast. Not a rival.
Why
a complimentary podcast.
Why are we even talking about them then?
Listen, they're on Comic Book Daily, where we're on Comic Book Daily. And the lovely and talented Lee Hart and Rachel Ritchie, they're the hosts.
Oh,
and the reason I brought it up, so Scott Vanderplug, the editor-in-chief of Comic Book Daily,
right,
the guy that lets us on the air, the guy that's ready to pull the plug at any second, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's got his fingers right on
those
that.
Guys,
yeah.
You're on a short leash.
Yeah.
He put their podcast on last week, and I got an email from Scott saying, Walt, just to let you know, okay, their podcast got 3 times the number of hits that your podcast
what?
Got on the first episode. And I'm going, Scott, Chris and I have been at this working hard for five years.
Yeah.
How can these guys,
girls,
have a podcast that
Does better than us?
That does better.
It's not possible.
Us. He said something. I don't know. I didn't want to read it. My eyes were cloudy. Something to work. He used the word talent. He used other things like that.
Yeah.
But
probably had knowledge or something.
Knowledge coming across. Yeah. So I'm going. You know. No. Then I started thinking about it.
What's that?
I go. You don't know. It's. I go. I think. You know. We got to put the word porn in our.
Podcast. Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Comic porn culture.
How about just comic porn?
Comic porn.
How about just porn culture?
Porn culture.
Comic culture porn?
Comic porn culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comic. But hold on. That might be saying that all we're going to talk about is comics that are pornographic.
Guys, you know
what? Yeah, perfect.
You know what? You know what I've learned? In the entertainment industry, that's too much of a mouthful you got there.
Mouthful?
Yeah.
But you got to make it snappy. Let's just call it porn.
Porn. Porn.
What do you think?
Porn.
P-O-R-N.
Yeah, we should do that. We should do that.
We could start it with some nice swanky music.
We've got that, guys.
And then we could have somebody in the background going, oh!
How about I have your pizza here for you, man. Oh, I don't have anything to pay you for it. Well, I believe I take other kinds of payments.
Listen, anyway,
Chris, you've seen a lot of adult films, haven't you?
I have read a lot of comic books.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Listen, anyway, pop porn is now a regular, hopefully a regular feature on Comic Book Daily.
Now, do they do this every week like we do?
They do. I believe they do once a week. Okay. I don't know, Lee or Rachel, if you're listening. Yeah. Why would they?
Why wouldn't they? And if you're,
they don't want to lose their listeners.
And if we have any listeners that are currently listening right now, whatever you do, don't go to
forget about the last 5 minutes of everything we just told you about.
Maybe you guys can let us know your schedule. And when you're going to be posting, because
so we can
and listen, if you are listening, could you please come on our show? Because we can use the bump and rating
talent.
Anyway, good for Lee, good for Rachel. Great to have pop porn on the airwaves
now
on Comic
maybe
Book Daily.
We just need to get some females on the air here. Is that
not
the
even,
idea?
Not even just that, you know, like think. I think we're over.
Shecky, it's okay. Your job is secure. We're not going to get rid of you just to get some hot female here to all right. produce.
All right, but I think we're overlooking some of the key components here.
What's that?
We may not need, you know, the females, but maybe, Chris, maybe once in a while you could
work
care
out
a little bit more about your image. Maybe you could come in with the bikini top. I
don't know. I think we should dress more provocative.
I might have the boobs for it.
Yes. Yeah. The bro you got on is really nice.
But, I'll start getting spray tans.
Hey,
I love how it comes over your V-neck shirt. You can just see the frill.
Does
nice
my hairy
look.
Chest accentuate that a little bit? Hey.
That's a nice look.
Hey, speaking of tight things.
Tight stuff.
Tight clothing. Yeah. You see, okay, so you see on, as kind of a joke, Jimmy Kimmel the other day, did you hear about this on Lululemon?
No.
So as a joke on Jimmy Kimmel, they had this joke where, you know, now instead of buying Lululemon pants, Lululemon's now offering a spray can that you just paint on the yoga pants.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah, so it was a big joke. But Lululemon came back at him and said, they actually put the spray can on their website, but saying it's sold out.
Nice.
So, you know, it's kind of like a little banter there.
I love it.
I thought that was pretty funny.
I love it. Yeah. I don't know what that has to do with pop porn.
No.
Okay. You know what? But, clearly not reading into the yoga pants enough.
Best of luck. Godspeed to Lee Hart and Rachel Ritchie with pop porn.
All right.
Let's move on. Hey, Chris, I got to talk about this. Okay, listen. So yesterday was
April Fool's.
And so I do every Tuesday I post a thing called The Undervalued Spot.
Right. And you do have a lot of followers on that.
And I post it for Tuesdays. And this is the first time in my Undervalued Spotlight history that Tuesday fell on April 1st.
Oh, right.
So I thought I'd be a smartass.
Yeah.
And I do like an April Fool's
post. Like a joke Undervalued
Spotlight. So, you know me, I love the Charlton romance.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a couple of Charlton romances where I extrapolated a couple of images and stuff.
Okay.
And I
Sure you did that or did someone else do that for you?
I'm not going to say right
now. Okay, you know what? Just leave. Let the guy talk.
I'm sorry. When I see the gaps in the story.
I know.
All right. Go ahead.
Anyway, there was a story from 1969 called the Phantom Surfer.
Okay.
From Ghostly Tales from Charlton.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I go, you know what? And I took some sort of lame ass 1965 comic, with a beach cover,
right?
And I said that the girl met some sort of really weird dude, and the story was called The Strange Surfer.
I need to pause right there. Yeah. So you actually made up the name of the story as well,
The Strange Surfer. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
And,
I love it.
But the guy was all silver.
Okay.
Which this luckily this Phantom Surfer was from 69.
Was it really?
Yeah. And so, and then in it I said, you know, he tells the girl, you know, this girl Sally falls in love with him, and she says, oh, you know what? You can't fall in love with me. I'm not from around here.
Right.
I'm actually an alien. I'm from outer space.
Right.
And then she says, it doesn't matter. I'm in love with you.
Right.
Right.
He goes, right.
Can't you see my skin is silver? Right. And. Anyway,
how did no one else see his skin? Like in your plot, like can't anyone?
Love is blind.
Yeah. Anyway,
love is blind.
So I did it, and the best part about it is this: what I'm getting to is There's a couple of nice comments. On there. Hey, Walt, so, great research, Walt. You know, these are little gems that you can come up with. This is what we need. I don't fault them for it because how would they know, right?
Yeah, I mean,
like they're relying on my integrity, sure. Which apparently they don't have.
Completely lost. Yeah.
and then I go, like, in the website, in the Comic Book Daily website, you can go and see where the traffic is coming from for your post.
Right, right.
I saw like 100 hits coming from the CGC comic forums. So the collector forums,
oh, no.
Right? And there's a couple of guys on there. There's a whole thread on there about the thing. Goes, hey, this guy, Walter Duralia, he came up with some sort of prototype for Surfer, man. We got to check into this.
Yeah.
And it's funny. You read down, and the one guy's going, yeah, I think I read about this a couple of years ago. It's like, oh, shit. No. Oh, I'm sorry.
Shiza.
Shimmy.
Yeah.
We can't do this, so I don't know. Anyway, there's a couple of guys who got on to me.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, this is April Fool's, isn't it? And then, you know, the cat was out of the bag. But
right. I may have been one of the whistleblowers on that event.
Yeah, Marty got on to me real quick.
You know what? I saw – for a second, I thought people were moving in on my books that I needed to be picking up on eBay.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, I said, wait a minute. It is April Fool's. Originally, I was trying to scare the crowd away.
Right.
But
right.
Then I thought, oh wait, it is April Fool's. Yeah,
so, anyway, so that was a fun. This is all big. This is all a big hoax, and
it's all a big hoax. Nice. Love Diary number 36 from Charlton Comics does not have the first prototype of Silver Surfer.
Well, because didn't you say it came out in 69?
No. The image I used for the surfer guy
was from 69.
From 69.
Oh, I get it.
The comic I used was from 65.
Oh, okay.
A year before the
surfer. He took creative liberties in, yeah.
Anyway, I apologize for anybody.
But you know what? You know what?
But
well,
it is April Fool's.
As my post said, if only you put that much effort and detail and fake research but real research into one of your real undivided spotlights.
Marty, hey, listen. You know what? You got to learn to crawl.
Uh-huh.
Before you fall.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. Listen.
All right.
I got to talk about this, Walt. I'm very, very excited.
Talk about it.
Very excited. Captain America, The Winter Soldier opens up this weekend, Friday.
Yes.
Now, it's already opened up overseas.
It did kick butt.
It kicked butt.
Overseas.
So listen. So Darren Aronofsky's biblical epic of Noah topped the domestic box office around here at $44 million.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I do want to see this.
Yeah.
But even though it had some.
Yeah. You know what? I want to say I'm gonna because I know what you're getting at right
okay,
here.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to point out. I called this. I said, you know what? Noah. You know, we've seen the trailer for a couple months now. This it's not going to wreak the havoc Passion of the Christ wreaked, but I guarantee. This is going to have some religious repercussions and opposition, just like throwing fireballs through windows. Well, maybe not really like Passion did, but and continue.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, so it had some opposition from Christian fundamentalists who disliked the way in which Aronofsky fleshed out the biblical story. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Muslims also disapproved of it.
Oh, did they really?
It's banned in a couple of Islamic
countries. I didn't
know
that. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, so overseas, Noah did do well, earning $51 million. However, this was all overshadowed by Captain America, The Winter Soldier, which is now a week before its U.S. opening or North American opening, raked in a whopping $75 million overseas.
Wow.
That's huge, right?
Mm-hmm. And because North America is usually bigger than the overseas.
Yeah. So, I mean, now, I'm not trying to say anything, but I have heard from many different sources, even months ago, both months ago and more recently, as of like yesterday and the day before, that they're saying this is better than The Avengers, which I find hard to believe.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I'm a huge fan of The Avengers.
I guess that can be taken with I don't want to say with a grain of salt, but it might be different movies. So it's not going to be The Avengers in terms of the
scope.
The scope or the. I think maybe this is what they're talking about. This is a damn good story.
Yeah.
Damn well done.
Yeah.
and damn well executed.
Yeah, I think so.
The grandeur and the spectacle of Avengers is not going to be.
Right.
But it doesn't, like, so how do you measure better?
Right,
point,
right,
right. You know what
right,
I'm saying? Right? Like, you know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark versus, you know, Godfather.
Versus Star Wars.
Or Godfather.
Godfather. Yeah, right.
Because they're two different things, right?
Yeah.
Godfather is like a story, great, but Raiders of the Lost Ark, you're having the time of your life.
Right.
So, this, you know, I'm not saying that Captain America is the Godfather. I'm just saying that maybe it's a more focused film that really gets to the character.
Yeah.
Or the other one had to kind of spread it all around and have fun.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope it's great. I mean, I've heard those same things, Chris, and I've heard...
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. That's I mean, Captain America is my favorite Marvel hero.
Yeah.
And
you know what I like or I hate or I like or...
Yeah, which one is it?
I do. I both of them.
Okay,
I go both ways.
I heard that.
Whatever gets us more ratings.
Yeah.
Is pop porn?
Yeah.
They're always talking about eventually the superheroes are going to movies are going to fail.
Yeah.
Everything's
going
to collapse. Why?
Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a good, if they're making good product,
exactly,
good stories.
Movies will fail.
Why not?
But it doesn't necessarily mean because it's a comic book, right?
Yeah, it's just because it was a badly made movie.
Yeah, you know, right? There are not a lot of fans.
Flippin' Schwarzenegger, our idol, my idol, he did that Sabotage.
Yeah.
It opened with $5 million.
Yeah, yeah. Terrible.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what happened over here. I don't even know what movie this is.
His latest action hero movie.
Yeah, it opened this weekend. It opened to $5 million. It's an absolute disaster.
How could... We need to go and buy every ticket in every theater right now.
I know.
How is that possible?
I know. Arnold failed the box office. But my point is good stories and Marvel
always
especially.
Prevail.
Marvel
yeah,
especially
prevail.
Is doing it right now.
As you know, I keep saying that Marvel's got the right formula.
Yeah.
Right, because they understand that even though it's a comic book, it doesn't have to be dark. Because DC seems to be all about, hey, let's get these characters and let's make them dark. Right, let's make Batman dark. Let's make Superman dark. You know, I read scripts for the for the Wonder Woman movies and all that. Dark, everything's dark with DC.
Yeah,
even Green Lantern had a dark tone to it.
Dark,
right? Whereas Marvel is just like, hey, we realize we've got these amazing characters. They're fun. Let's put them in the original costumes.
Marvel's like, let the sun shine in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for. I can't wait for this movie to come out. I've already got my tickets. VIP, baby, all the way.
All the way.
Looking forward to seeing this.
Oh,
movie.
Mr. Owen.
Yeah.
This way, please.
I do believe your seat is this way.
Yes.
Are we ready for a musical interlude there, Marto? Sorry, Shecky.
You call me whatever you like. We're ready to get on to whatever you like.
All right,
I do have some music queued up.
Okay, let's get some music going here.
Now, in honor and memoriam of the late action hero career of that of Arnold Schwarzenegger, let's play a little Conan original soundtrack
nice.
For you.
I like to hear that. All right, let's hear that. Let's see what you got going for us. All right. Well, so if you really liked solid drums and tribal music, that was for you.
Didn't you understand? His career is now it's in an absolute catastrophe.
I thought that was a Sapporo beer commercial for Christ's sake.
It was the doom of Arnold.
I get it.
We had those drummers. What are they? The Kabuki drummers or whatever they're called.
It's called the Anvil of Crumb on top
By
of Arnold's
Crumb.
Head. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have another musical interlude here?
You know what? I'm gonna skip a few verses, brother, and I'm gonna get to another one of the Conan sounds. Okay.
All right.
So we're gonna come in somewhere in the middle of a song. Okay?
We're coming in somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Let it rip.
Here we go.
All
Yeah, of course. And, of course, that was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir's homage to the false god Crom.
Version of Crom.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know what? Hey, you know what? If you're not right, April Fools, everyone.
Hey,
you know what they said on The Simpsons one time? Hey, when you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time. So you know what?
What's that mean?
Yeah, it means sometimes you don't quite get it all
okay.
right.
Okay. All right. Listen, I think I was right there. Let's continue on with the show.
Yes.
Because, boy, there's still a lot to cover, Chris.
We got a lot to cover.
The funny thing is.
Here's the thing.
By the way, I have to remind everybody, we are on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio.
Award-winning.
Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Maybe not tomorrow if you keep cussing. But
no,
anyway.
Listen, and it's because of us. We know it.
You know, really, where else can you get
stuff like
quality
this?
entertainment like us?
And we're
where
podcasting.
Else can you get comic porn?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
We're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com.
And comicporn.com.
And comicporn.com. And getit.com. I mean, Get the Point Radio.
Yeah, baby. Getit.com.
Get the Point Radio. Hey, easy now. Getthepointradio.com.
We should be on getit.com.
Oh, yeah.
Getitnow.com. And, hey, listen, let's talk about Batman's 75th anniversary celebrations.
Hard to believe that Batman is 75 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I remember him as such a young little child, you know, so many years ago.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's grown up at 75 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
he's still fit. He can still kick ass.
He really can. Hey, you know what I actually saw the other day? It's kind of off topic, but not really.
Yeah.
Is I watched all of the, you know, Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Returns came out in 1985, the comic.
Sure do.
So they made a animated version of that recently.
Okay.
Came out in two parts. I finally finished watching both parts. Actually, very well done.
Right.
Very, very impressive. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very good. I actually forgot a lot of what the story was all about with mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan and, mm-hmm. and Superman being his sort of like Boy Scout and all that kind of stuff. Very well done. The story holds up very well.
That's the thing. I mean, let's first quickly just recap what DC is doing over the year. So basically, 2014 is celebrating the year of Batman.
Sure.
Because 1939,
yeah.
actually May,
yeah.
in Detective Comics number 27, they introduced the character Batman. And, you know, he's always, at the beginning, Chris, he played, you know, second fiddle to Superman.
Right.
But, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
That's right.
And I think Bats is running away with it, right?
Absolutely.
So they've got new comics lined up for this year. What do they got?
Weekly series called Batman Eternal, launching April 9th.
Yep.
And they're going to have Batman and variant covers for the San Diego Comic-Con. There's also going to be all kinds of, they're going to be partners with libraries and bookstores and
Batman
retailers
Day.
For Batman Day.
Batman Day.
So, okay, you know what? I want to put this out to all of our listeners out there. For those of you, because we support the local comic book retailer, but you guys, as listeners, also have to support your retailer and go out and tell them that you want to have something fun for Batman Day. If they're going to make an actual day of this, on Wednesday, July 23rd of this year, tell your local retailer you want to have a Batman Day and get them to do something fun.
Sure.
Get them to have people dress up or have movies late at night or have Catwoman come and steal jewels or whatever.
Like just have a big sleepover.
Yeah.
Comic book.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Something.
I think you should have a sleepover in the store, Walt.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, Chris.
Yeah.
And you're invited.
Okay, great.
Bring those pajamas you brought last time. Lovely.
Nice flannels.
The silk ones.
There's other things. There's what the hell is there else?
Other planned highlights include
Arkham Knight video game.
Yes.
There's
going to be an art exhibit at the San Diego Comic-Con.
There's a re-release of the 66 Batman TV series.
Yeah, which is interesting because they released that a while ago and they're now re-releasing it. Because remember for years now, that whole TV series was under scrutiny because of the number of different people that actually owned the rights to them.
Right. Yeah,
because there was various music that was involved that was in the series that people all said, well, I own the rights to that.
Yeah.
And then you got the TV personalities that were on the show. So you got, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. and, you know.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra
was
on there.
What's that?
Bruce Lee was on there.
Bruce Lee. And, you know, so the guys.
Cary Grant.
Yep. Sure, why not? So all these different
Bruce
people
Willis.
Were on the,
Bruce Willis
no,
was
Bruce,
on there.
Bruce Willis was
I
not
think,
on there.
What's his name was on there? What's his name? Gary Coleman.
Gary Coleman. What you talking about, Batman?
We should talk about Robin.
Gary Coleman was not on Batman.
Okay.
Listen.
Anyway, so this is a big year for Batman.
Yes.
75th anniversary. Yeah. I just want to kind of hijack the Batman talk into, and again, I think I've said this before, but Batman is, forget about Superman. Forget about Spider-Man. Forget about Ant-Man.
Yeah.
It's Batman that's carrying the day right now at your local comic book shop.
Okay,
Batman is the man.
So hold on. So of all, we actually haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
But the Diamond Report as to the number one selling comics month by month.
Yeah.
Is Batman still like
Batman?
Up there?
I believe is still up there kicking ass. He is the number one title. He is. His offshoot titles, I think he's got more offshoot titles than anybody else. Like the Bat family of titles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but there might be 28 of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like Batman, Batman, Batman. And the reason that is because people love Batman.
Mm.
And Batman is being done well.
Yes.
And but the thing with Batman is he's not just being done well now. He's always been
consistent.
Done well.
Consistent.
I came up with a theory. Thinking of Batman and everything.
You did.
If I may, yeah, just, yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Shecky.
Yeah. Don't be surprised.
So it might be a bad theory.
It's full of surprises.
Well, that's true. Okay, go ahead.
It could be a bad theory. Why don't you just let me tell my theory?
Okay.
So here's my theory, okay? You listening?
I am.
All right.
Bated breath.
So, Batman was around for so long. What are you going to give me? Are you going to let me
talk?
No,
I had some sort of breath.
stank breath. Anyway, so Batman's been around forever. You know, Superman the same amount of time, okay? But these are both adults, right? The characters are adults. This is key for where I'm going, okay?
All right.
So they've been around forever. Let's say that the generations have come and gone, you know, so the people who originally read Superman, Batman, they didn't even really pass it on to their kids and because whatever. Not until the 60s did it really become, like, full of life again, the TV shows, whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, you've got them all starting around the same time frame, you know, Batman, Superman, whatever in the 60s. Let's just say it was really popular, right?
Sure.
Now you have all the movies coming out. Batman movies are being done really well. So they get the young audiences immediately, even the ones that don't read comics, right?
Right.
Then you also have the younger kids who are going into comic book stores. What's going on? What's new? What's great? And Batman's there and Batman's great.
Right.
But then you also have the adults who don't want to read a comic book really about teen issues. The Spider-Man to adults, I think when they grow up, all of a sudden they can't relate to teenagers anymore.
Yeah, that's
and
a
so
point.
They
want
to relate to an adult.
Yeah.
Batman has every generation under its thumb.
Yes.
It's a good point.
His
good
thumb. Point.
And I feel like they can expose and they can spread to so much
spread.
of a demographic and a populace because of that.
Yes.
I can't
it's a good
like
point.
They have the perfect model for success.
Yeah, because Batman is transcendental. Like you can
like you need a retainer after a while or
yes. What? You can have a Batman that's meant to be for kids and you can have a Batman that's meant to be for adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. But I mean really with good writing you can do that with any character, right?
Yeah,
you can have a Captain America that's gritty and grimy.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Batman has done very well. But maybe it's because of the character and the concept. Okay, hear me out.
Okay.
The concept of Batman is a unique concept, right?
Sure.
It's kind of simple. It's nighttime. It's crime. It's this, it's that. Perhaps the reason why Batman has been so successful for 75 years and has had four successful generational jumps, great-grandpa, grandpa, pa, me, all reading Batman, and my kid's going to read Batman, is because that concept is there, but that concept draws talent.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like Schmoeman, which I know you're a big fan of.
I love Schmoeman.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, like your
who cares?
Your Darwin Cooks and your Neil Adamses and your Alan Moores and your Frank Millers just aren't coming to Schmoeman.
No, they're really not.
And
really
I know your buddy Art Balthazar drew some Schmoeman. But my point is perhaps just that whole concept of Batman is so approachable and so you can do so much with it. But it's like the light that draws the moths.
Yeah, you're right. You're right and you're wrong. You're right. No, but I mean, I'm being serious here. You're right in the fact that yes, that it has become a character like that. However, it took Neil Adams in the 70s to re-bring it back into a... To bring it back to a character that was not a parody of itself.
Yes.
And then it took, you know, it had Frank Miller. Batman and the Outsiders for a number of years in the 80s, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden Frank Miller comes around and brings it back to mm-hmm. A worthy, you know, adult type
character. Okay, but here's my point.
But hold on. Okay. Nobody has, I mean, it has very rarely, people haven't had that chance to do that with other characters. Why? I don't know. Because they don't care about the character enough?
But that's my point, though. Maybe, you know, The Adventures of the Fly, that was successful at the beginning,
yeah,
never got the attention from creators to come in and rescue it like Neil Adams did with Batman, because Neil Adams wanted to save Batman.
Right.
You know,
right.
Frank Miller wanted to make his statement through who?
Right.
Batman.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
okay, but for example, like, you know, but this happens periodically and then nobody kind of picks up the mantle. So you get a character like, say, Moon Knight, right?
So you get
David Finch doing Moon Knight.
Yeah. But Finch is a cover artist.
Okay, but he did Moon Knight for a bit. Bill Sienkiewicz did Moon Knight for a bit. Like, you get all these different people who did Moon Knight for a while, and then all of a sudden nobody cares about Moon Knight.
Yeah, but you know what? Good art will only take you a certain level. I mean, you got to write some great stuff.
Right. Okay. And, fair enough.
Batman has it.
Okay, but what other characters have it? That's my question to you.
Well,
like, does Superman have it?
No. I'm going to argue that
Superman's been around since 1930.
He's always been a struggle.
Right.
Superman has always been a struggle. DC will never abandon him. He's their still kind of flagship character,
sure.
in a way.
Yeah.
He's always
the first
been a
major
yeah,
superhero,
I mean,
right?
He's the reason why you and I are having a talk show.
Sure,
really.
Sure. Right?
And but he's always been a struggle.
Okay. I've got a question.
Not
for
always,
you here.
But he's okay. been a struggle.
All right.
Last 40 years.
So here's a character. So Spider-Man obviously has the same appeal that Batman does, right?
Yes.
Generations, everybody loves Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Not everybody loves Captain America.
No.
Captain America went through years of drudgery.
Yep.
And then it takes a guy like, say, Ed Brubaker comes around,
right?
and does amazing things with Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Brings it to a level that is awesome. You know, why can't, and then somebody else maybe years from now will do that same thing. Why can't people do that with every single character and have the same kind of
Because it's like, I don't know, like, you know, the law of evolution, the natural selection, the process of there just happens to be that one that hits that sweet spot for most of us.
Right.
And I think the whole Batman concept is that one.
All right. Fair enough. All right. I'll let it go.
All right. What do we got? Check it. We still going or?
We're still going.
I don't know. Are we going?
Yo, you want to go?
All right, enough, you guys. All right, listen, we got to talk about Toys R Us.
Toys R Us.
You know, have you ever lost $1 billion?
No.
Ah, Toys R Us did.
Wow.
They lost $1 billion and even $1 billion in its fiscal 2013, according to its fourth quarter, and full year 2013 results.
Oh, no, they bet on the Leafs making the playoffs.
I know, eh?
Oh, man.
Morons.
So that compares to the $38 million that they actually made that ended in early 2013.
Okay, so, Chris, Toys R Us is the conduit, the candy man.
The Candyman can.
Who can take the sunrise?
Who can take your toys away?
And mix it up with, I don't know.
Yeah.
Stop there.
My point is, boy, a lot of comic culture is distributed through Toys R Us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Toys R Us is the distributor. He's the Candyman.
Yep.
For all the people that love, you remember those really cool Hulk fists?
Yeah, I love those.
I bought one. I just I wanted to hit my wife with one, but yeah, she hit me with hers.
Yeah. So she had bigger Hulk
fist. Yeah, she had a bigger Hulk
fist. So then you hit your kids.
I hit my kids. And
it rolls downhill.
And then child services came. Yeah. Anyway, it was a long story, but the point is...
So 6 months later when you got out of jail.
Yeah.
But the thing is how bad would it be if Toys R Us was taken out of the picture? That's what I want to ask.
Okay.
Is this an opportunity?
Okay, you go ahead, Chris, and I'll say what I have.
I was going to say that Toys R Us.
I don't want to grow up.
It absolutely serves a great purpose.
Yes, it
does. I mean, throughout the year, that's the place to go to for toys, right? You know, at Christmas time, you can go to Sears or the Bay or wherever.
It's not the same.
And they do have some toys, you know, Target and Walmart and all that kind of stuff. So they do have some toys.
Yeah.
But, man, you know what? Toys R Us is an all-in-one stop shopping center for toys.
You know what the best way to look at social and family dynamics is? Go into Toys R Us in December 15th on a weekend.
Yeah.
And just look at that family dynamic. It's awesome. Sometimes you just get the dad on the cell phone, like he's just like he's not even there. You know? The kids are running around like idiots.
Screaming children.
Yeah, they're running around like idiots.
They're on like the little the tricycles bashing into each other playing
exactly.
bumper cars.
I don't know what he's doing. He's checking the scores or you know calling his bookie or something like that. And the missus is usually trying to corral the kids. And it's like it's an amazing place. But people are walking out of there with buckets and buckets.
Yeah, hundreds of dollars per person.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's the one sunny picture about Toys R Us. I grew up with Toys R Us literally right beside my street.
Mm-hmm.
Ran to it, you know, 5 days a week and played on the free video game console when Nintendo 64
was
out.
I used
to go there for my Pokemon cards when I was a kid or just for candy. Like, I was there every day for something. Just had a few bucks, you go and get some candy.
You're a Toys R Us kid, Marty.
Yeah.
You know what? 100% I was growing up as a kid in the 90s. And, you know, it's sad to see that they're doing so poorly. But you know what? If they go off the radar, I don't think it leaves a gap to be filled. And here's why. You look at the small specialty toy stores that have popped up. You know, say right now in our area, you know, Southern Ontario, Mastermind,
good point.
Right? So they have those small niche sort of like smartsy games and whatever, right?
But,
and like the little toys.
Sorry, go ahead.
Everything else can pretty much be assimilated by like a Walmart. And it's so sad to say that. But all the little trikes, all the Transformer toys, the board games, Walmart has everything.
But the selection that Toys R Us has doesn't compare to what Walmart has.
But with Toys R Us going out of business, what I'm saying, like
I would doubt they would repurpose space for that number of toys that Walmart has.
Toys R Us. I guarantee they probably have like a good 60-70% of what's in a Toys R Us.
I doubt that.
Since the figures show, you can argue with me, you can't argue with figures.
That's true.
The figures show that the electronics and the juvenile sections are pitiful in Toys R Us. And that's kind of the...
Okay,
the
but...
Because they're what? They're going to
Walmart,
EB Games instead?
Walmart has an incredible video game section already. Like, you couldn't even expand it if you wanted it to because they're already fully committed to it.
I guess I'm thinking more of, like, the Lego section and the Barbie section. Like, they have, like, a...
Toys R Us has a big,
huge
Lego section
and a huge Barbie section. I mean, it almost...
If you want to go at Christmas time and get the Death Star, pretty well. Toys R Us is the only place that might stock it, right?
Unless you want to go to the actual Lego store,
right, which
is hard to get to for most.
Or
people.
You know, like those $400 Legos. My point,
yeah,
like Mastermind won't carry those. I don't think
no.
And Toys R Us will carry like the $69 one. Sorry, Walmart and Target and whatever.
But if you want to get the really expensive ones, like there's a home, for example, coming out in April, there is a Simpsons one that is only available through the Lego store. And perhaps Toys R Us,
right?
So it's like a huge Simpsons Lego set that is very exclusive, and Walmart won't be carrying it. Mastermind won't be carrying it because it's going to be $250.
Yeah,
these guys won't
carry
that stuff.
I guess that's a difficult decision. If you are a business proprietor, you have to decide: am I going to bite the bullet on all the small end toys because Walmart and Mastermind and, you know, mostly just Walmart and like the Targets around are going to have me beat on that because they know they can go and find 10 times the volume in any store like that. But I carry the specialty niche stuff. But then, and look, I'm trying to find a way for this store to work, right?
Yeah.
But then they carry the high-end specialty items maybe more on like an ordering basis.
Yeah.
And then they branch into other stuff. So the store isn't just these high-end individual sort of toys or anything like that. You know? So maybe if they dilute their store with other stuff, like a comic shop specialty order. Walt, I don't know. Does this ring chimes for you?
I want to talk about it.
Okay. All right. So, you know what? I here's what I think. I think, you know, you did hit the nail on the head there or something for a second there, Shaggy. If Walmart or even if Toys R Us, actually, you know, it's a better point. If Toys R Us maybe scaled down their stores a little bit and, you know, was able to do more special orders, they might
do better. Turn into a mastermind, though. That's my
point, though.
Toys R Us is about everything.
Going in and browsing around. Listen,
they got the Toys R Us babies. They got the Toys R Us this. They got
Right.
I mean, you know what? What's lost in all this, and what I was hoping to get to is, you know, us champion the local comic book shop.
Absolutely.
Here on 93.3 CFMU.
But you know what I will say is that for a long time, the reason why people buy a lot of toys at comic shops is because they carry stuff that Toys R Us doesn't.
Right.
And interesting point about that is maybe the comic book shops are more in tune as to what the consumers want.
Absolutely.
So you know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude before we have our last few minutes here.
Yep.
What do you got planned for us there, Shecky?
Well, we were talking about the 75th, so let's go with a little bat.
All right, I like it. Let's do it.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Real quickly, we got to pass on
some sad
news. Is Lorenzo Semple?
Oh,
91 years old.
Yes,
who actually created the Batman?
Batman TV series. Yes,
passed away sadly.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And he'll be missed.
He was sort of instrumental in the look of the Batman TV series.
Yeah,
like with the pow and the bam and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The campy feel to it. He was very instrumental in that. He unfortunately
passed
away.
Thank you, Lorenzo.
Yes, thanks.
Thank
Lorenzo.
You. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, listen, what do we got going here
now?
Well,
as we're entering our final segment, we did have a final sponsor here. So, last section, industry news and comic culture, brought to you by Comic Culture Porn, the newest, hippest podcast with bikinis, hairy chests, and maybe yoga pants.
Yeah.
Are you not satisfied?
Mm-hmm. Are you not entertained?
Are you not naughty?
there you go.
All right, that's starting next week,
right? Listen, next
absolutely.
Week?
Yeah, all right.
Too bad this show isn't visual.
Yeah, no, actually, it's a good thing.
Probably.
Anyway, listen, I think Shecky has something for us.
I was doing some sleuthing, guys.
Yeah. Sleuthing.
Okay. Hear me out, all right? Found out in some underground superhero forums that there was a very top secret spring. You know how the fashion shows all happen in the spring and summer?
Yeah.
There was a top secret superhero spring fashion and style show going on.
Is that the one in New York?
No. I found out it was actually taking place in Munich, Germany. Walter.
Munich.
Yes.
Munich. I feel like a little girl in spring.
You know, I was there for Oktoberfest once. It was great.
And so anyway, so I caught the red eye. I flew right out.
Good for you.
It was just a one night, overnight event.
Dedicated.
Yeah. I was dedicated, okay? So that was my weekend. I spent a weekend in Munich. What'd you do? Yeah, all right. Oh. So I went there.
Wow.
All the girls, you know, it's nice and it's spring weather now. All the girls on the streets, they're out with their
Brausen
and Lederhosen and, you know.
Guten Tag, Fräulein. Guten Tag.
Exactly, guten Morgen.
Right? But I could not for the life of me find The convention, right?
The fashion show.
Yeah, so you know what I did? So I'm walking down like one of the markets, right? I couldn't find it. There's a secret entrance of some kind, but I didn't know. I wasn't tipped off, right?
Right.
So anyway, so I just had to use the restroom. So I ducked into a little side shop there, right? And so I'm using the restroom. Like, man, someone made a mess, like a pigsty of this restroom, right?
So happens.
I went out to the front cashier, and I'm like, excuse me, I think someone messed up your bathroom. There's a mess all over the floor, and I think someone left a mess on the toilet itself. And she said, oh, go right ahead, sir. I think that was the password. I don't know.
Right.
Oh. The doorway opens.
Yeah.
And so I go. So I'm in a new world. And anyway, I pulled, and I took the top five answers of superhero spring fashion and style tips from them themselves.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, I like that.
Anyway,
yeah.
So to start off, I was talking to bats. So Batman. White latex. For enjoying a day at the beach, black is too hot for Batman to wear this time of year. So the great white bat suit keeps me dry and looking smooth as a glove.
Oh, that's very true.
Nice.
All right, and so then I talked to Wolvie there. So Wolverine. Being a biker, I love the leathers, he says.
Yeah.
So being hot out in summer, assless chaps.
Oh, wow.
They also show off
assless? Did he say assless?
He did, yeah.
Okay, assless.
Assless.
Okay, no ass.
No ass.
They also show off a good set of glutes, he says. So, he's been working hard in the gym.
He has good glutes.
There you go, right? He may as well. So then,
hold on. Go back to...
assless?
Assless. Yeah. So, okay. So,
the assless boy wonder there. Yeah.
So that's what he was showing off?
Yeah.
His assless.
That's his summer style.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So number three, the Punisher.
The Punisher.
Yeah. Whips, gags, paddles, and handcuffs.
Yeah. Only in Munich.
I believe this may not have been, a different kind of Punisher and not Frank Castle.
So
I also think he was at the wrong convention, so I talked to him a bit. He ended up finding the right one, though, two halls down. It was the Pain und Schnitzels Con.
Pain
und Schnitzel. Good.
Eventually found his way.
Yes.
And, so the second of the style tips there, Spider-Man, Stan Lee's signature cologne, which exists. Yeah. That was available a couple years ago.
I bought that.
I should have got that.
No, I bought that.
Can I have it?
No, you know what? No, I'll talk to you about it later.
All right. Says, nothing steals young girls' hearts like the musk
of a
legend.
Does it smell like Stan Lee?
No. It smells like the Hulk.
And number one, right here. Power Girl. I talked to Power Girl.
Oh, wow.
I chased her down. She was running.
Yeah.
Chased her down.
Does she have a assless, what's it called?
Chaps.
No.
Chaps?
Frontless chaps.
What do you call it?
Well, she didn't specify what her summer gear was for the lederhosen there. But she did say, you know what? Just about anything, so long as it's less material and bigger holes.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Bigger holes.
You know? Window to the universe.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then what I did was I got everyone to take a survey. Yeah, so everyone did a little vote. For the fashion style or apparel everyone wanted to see more of this upcoming season.
Just as
a general what up.
Yeah. I'm just going to guess.
It was unanimous.
Assless.
No. They say they love pearl necklaces.
Pearl necklaces.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? Yeah.
You know what? Archie loved pearl
necklaces. Archie liked that, too. Yeah.
Archie loved it. Yeah. Betty, I think, was into it, but Veronica, not so much.
Yeah. Wasn't he going to get her a Frisbee, but instead, you know.
Yeah, I think Meathead. Is it Meathead or Jughead?
Jughead.
Jughead, yeah, said she'd prefer a pearl necklace.
Yeah. Well. Listen, you know what? This train wreck of a show, I think we're done. It's over.
All right, listen, I got to read the technicals here.
Overture.
Oh, the lights. Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, aka Marty Berthelmer.
Ack-ack-a-dack.
For comments, suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down, way down to the comments field and add your comments. And also hear us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, assless chaps are the hot thing this summer.
And they're available at your local comic book shop.
Have yourself a great day.